Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 581, Turbo Time, recorded live on May 16th, 2017. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am your host, Dust Storm.
I'm your co-host, Godzilla T.
And after me being sick last week, we are back after a two-week hiatus. So things are getting better, hopefully, for me. As you can tell, my throat's still a little out of whack and probably sound a little nasally. I've got some congestion that I'm still dealing with, which kind of sucks. But feeling a lot better than I did last week.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. Springtime. Definitely brings in the sickness. And now, since I'm dating a teacher, she's around kids all the time, and she was the one that got me sick. What can you do? That's one of the side effects, I guess. It's one to deal with.
Try having a wife that works at a drugstore.
Yeah, I would imagine that would be very similar experience.
Yeah, pretty much.
Except there's usually a counter split or dividing them between the other person, whereas with kids, they're just breeding grounds for germs.
No. These sick people ain't got nothing on, or the kids ain't got nothing on sick people. They go through and they touch everything.
Oh.
And my wife isn't responsible for stocking the shelves and resetting displays.
Okay. Never mind then.
Let's put it this way. This year that she's been off and she hasn't been at work, she's been sick once. The previous year, five times.
Point taken. So I have it easy, apparently.
Kids aren't mad about it, but yeah.
Fair enough.
I'm surprised I'm not sick more often.
Maybe you're the one with the strong immune system. Or just really good at not spreading the germs when you guys are home together.
Well, I tell you what, when it does hit me, I am down. It hits hard.
Down. Cool. So yeah, still working on getting a little bit better, but we're here for this week's news. Not much new going on, but there has been quite a few updates, a few community things going on as well to cover that we haven't been able to touch on for the past couple of weeks. So why don't we go ahead and just jump on into the community update. Not the latest one, but the one from before was Rockin' and Railin'. This was the weekend that Rocks and Rails came out, and I obviously wasn't playing any of that since I was getting sick at the time. Do you have any chance to do Rocks and Rails, or anyone in the chat have a chance to get into that playlist when it was around?
It is still around, and yes.
Oh, it's still around. Okay.
As of this Tuesday.
Okay.
And we did play it on game night.
Nice.
It's not bad. It took me a little bit to warm up to it. The railgun is definitely the preferred weapon. Just better range, more accurate. But the rocket launcher does come in handy.
I almost think you need to probably do the Spanker EM with the railgun, like the arc light or something.
Well, no, they use a whiplash, and they do use the EM.
Okay, because that's the one that shoots really quickly, right?
No, that's the EX.
Oh,
the Spanker okay. Prime, or the Spanker Prime is the one that shoots really fast. The Spankum just I think has higher capacity.
Okay.
No, I can't remember.
The higher capacity rocket launcher and the higher capacity railgun. I guess that...
Well, the whiplash, yeah. That gives you the two shots per magazine. Because
the arc light is the one that you can charge up in less than a second.
Hold. Yeah, you can charge up and hold it.
Right. I guess. I guess the rocket launchers are good for area kills if you know someone's hiding behind a wall or a corner. And then the railgun is just good for on-site. It's kind of like a... I guess, in a way, I don't know if this analogy works too well, but just more explosive way of shoddy snipes. don't know. Is that making sense to anybody?
Definitely a higher powered version of it.
The shotgun would kind of be the rocket launcher because it's slower, and the sniper would kind of be like the railgun. Kind of. Anyways, I don't know how well that analogy fits. If anyone in the chat wants to say if I'm right or wrong.
You can snipe with a railgun.
Yeah.
You can snipe with a railgun, and you know you can use a rocket kind of like a shotgun.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was going for. So, okay. So it's not a bad analogy.
No.
Fair enough. Cool. So that playlist, I guess, is still up. So get in and play a little bit if you haven't. I guess that's something that's staying around for a few weeks then, if they're not planning on... If that's been around for 2 weekends already.
Yeah, Rock and Rail. I'm looking at it right now. Rock and Rail is still the featured playlist.
I wonder if they're kind of doing that in line with the Warzone Turbo, since it's actually back for a month as well.
Ooh, it is? It is.
Yeah. As of Friday.
I have to go back in there and work on my Spartan laser kills.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So as of Friday, last week on the 12th, Warzone Turbo is going to be back for a month, or probably at least 4 weekends worth. So, I mean, it'll be available throughout the week, but it'll be here for at least 28 days. Probably 31 days from a Friday to a Sunday type of thing. So if you have a bunch of wrecks that you want to go use, then Warzone Turbo is the place to do it. I actually got to play some Warzone Turbo with some of the Podtacular crew on Sunday. So for those who don't know, I am trying to stream weeklies on Sunday, or weekly on Sundays. Get my S in the right place. And I was actually able to play with Confal, Bobby, Keys, Frogbutts, and a couple of other friends, as well as Drax from Ready Up Live. And we actually had a full party of 8, and we did big team. And then we did some Warzone Turbo to finish off the night. And it was a lot of fun. I ended up streaming for about 2 hours and actually had a raid into my Beam lobby. So one of the other Halo community members brought over a few other Beam viewers. So got my, follower count up a little bit. So that was nice.
Well, that's good.
For anyone that's interested, I'm going to be streaming weekly, hopefully on Sundays, over on my Beam channel, which is Duststorm. To digress, had a lot of fun. I went into Turbo actually on Friday solo and won a game. And then the 2 games that I played on Sunday, we both won as well. It's a lot of fun, even with the partial party. Yeah,
good way to spin wreck.
Well, when Turbo was first announced, one of the things I used it for was to get rid of all my random weapons and vehicles, and I still use those from time to time. So I'll try to use those before I try to do wreck or weapon or vehicle specific wrecks, unless I need those to specifically address a particular issue. So if there's a Banshee that's just causing havoc, I'll whip out a rocket launcher or a railgun or a Spartan laser. Otherwise, I'll try to do random weapons where needed, if we have a comfortable lead.
Yeah, I save all my vehicles for firefight. I just go through and use all the weapons I just don't use. You know, there's very few weapons that I'll use in firefight. Occasionally I pull out a fuel rod, or you know, I'll pull out an Answer or Georgia's chain gun or something like that. So I use Warzone Turbo to use the other stuff that I don't normally use, like, you know, I'll break out a Norfang, and I use my invisibility and or overshields, things like that, and I have a lot of fun with
it. Good. Kind of like you, I use my power-ups mostly in Turbo as well, because whenever I'm in normal Warzone, I'm usually just using my power weapons or vehicles instead of the power-ups. So Turbo is a nice excuse to actually use those power-ups. Warzone Warlords will be back on the 26th, though, for Memorial Day weekend. So it's a 4-day weekend, so it'll actually be up all 4 days, the 26th through the 29th.
Cool.
Lots of Warzone stuff for this month, which is awesome. The May and June seasons for Arena is now live. They add some new features into matchmaking. They have a soft forfeit, and this kind of helps it make it easier to quit if another player has already quit the game. So soft forfeit is it's safe to leave if someone else has already left the match, so you won't get a matchmaking ban if someone's already left. You won't get an additional CSR penalty loss if someone's already left the game. You still lose any CSR that you would normally get from a loss on your record, but you won't get the extra penalties associated normally when you leave a match. So that's nice.
So in most cases, you're looking at you're just losing if you would have stayed in the game and lost anyway. So you're not really losing anything extra or gaining anything. So I think that's a good thing, as long as you're not the first one to leave.
And I know there's instances in Halo where if someone's times out, I think it automatically kicks them. So I'm wondering if this is to help with that kind of scenario a little bit. If you have a person that's just AFC and then quits out, it's like, well, okay, now it's 3-on-4 and we're getting decimated. I don't want to deal with this anymore, so quit. I think that's a pretty good idea. I don't see that really being abused or anything.
And now if they can just figure out how to do that with a dropped network connection or an intentional quit.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got a good network connection, but occasionally I get dropped.
Well, and if you think about it too, you could intentionally quit by just disconnecting your router, or...
Like I said, the difference between if there was a way to determine a quit due to a purpose network or purposely disconnected network or a accidental, which I honestly don't think there's a way to do that. Yeah,
there's not. There's no networking technology that can really give you that kind of insight into a network.
Well, that we know about. Big Brother's watching you. This is a good step in the right direction, because that's one thing that I've always had a problem with is, you're playing a game and somebody quits out. Now all of a sudden you're at a disadvantage because you're 3-on-4 or 2-on-4. In a game type like SWAT, it's not as much of a problem. It actually can be a benefit to be 3-on-4 because, there's no power weapons, but they have one less person to kill than you do.
And if you have the right team dynamic too, then having that lower player count, even in like normal Slayer or Objective, well, probably more Slayer, can actually lead to your advantage. It just kind of depends on what kind of team you are.
Well, normal Slayer, the only thing is, the only disadvantage to it is they have an extra person to grab power weapons.
Yeah, but power weapons can usually help turn the tide of a game. Usually. Not always.
Yes, they can. If you can get them. And I'm not saying there's not three-person teams out there that can't. But when you have an extra gun guarding or, protecting a power weapon for the other teams to pick up, it does make it a little bit more difficult.
Anyways, so there's soft forfeit. There's also reduced early season wait times for higher skilled players. So sometimes the matchmaking will make it to where the searching will happen a little bit longer at the start of a season. Especially for players that have had repetitively high ranks, they've worked on the matchmaking logic to make it to where those higher skill players will still get into matches more quickly without trying to compromise the rating or the matching up of skill for all the players. They've implemented that with this season as well, and there are stricter CSR boundaries now, so the Onyx population has been reduced again. I think it was 2,000 at launch, and I don't know what the specific size is now, but they've said that they've reduced it again And there's stricter boundaries to actually get into that Onyx rank now. So a few different things that have been added to the season, and it's for May and June, the 2 month season. And I kind of like the emblem for this month. It's nice and blue, has a little kind of like oceanic feel to it.
Yeah, I just went through and opened up rec packs that I've been holding on to for 2 months.
Nice.
Well, I was trying to decide if I wanted to do a video or not, so I kind of held on to the better ones, you know, my promotion rewards, commendations, things like that. So I went through and opened them all, and I recorded it, and it will be up on my channel. Yay! So I'll probably post it Saturday.
Halo Wars 2 is getting some balance changes, aka Kinsano is being nerfed. All the flame stuff has been reduced in damage or increased cooldown or reduced in speed, all that kind of stuff. The only thing I think that went in favor is the flame mortar fire rate is reduced by half a second. Other than that, Kinsano basically got nerfed. Unfortunately.
Yeah. Wow. Flame wall damage versus building has been reduced by 70%. That's a pretty big nerf.
Yeah. In addition to that, Inferno damage to buildings was reduced by 20%. But still, 70% is a freaking huge number. Colony has a couple of updates. Banished has some overall increases, mostly for movement speed on some other units, and then the UNSC has a couple units that have been updated as well. Also, with the Colony release, 343 gave us some WAV files from Colony that you can use. There are, was it nine? Yeah, nine different lines of dialogue that you can go get in WAV format if you so choose. So that was cool. That was nice of them to do that.
Oh, definitely.
Halo Combat Evolve has been added to the World Video Game Hall of Fame. So I think on the last podcast, we talked about it being nominated, and it was officially put up there and joins the classics like Doom, Legend of Zelda, Pac-Man, and Pong in the World Video Game Hall of Fame. So I don't think it's any surprise to us that it got in there, just with how impactful Halo's been to the first-person genre itself for console gaming. Yay! Go Halo!
Yay!
Also, GT, I don't know if you saw Haas's comment, but achieving Halo. That's something that we haven't touched in a long time.
Yes, because I haven't had anybody want to do it with me.
Yeah, people, we need help.
This particular, the mission I'm waiting on, I need a couple extra people to be able to pull off the string of achievements that I want to do, because I would like to do some of the score-based achievements, and those are kind of hard to do solo, especially when the bulk of the mission is driving. What level else? Yeah. Come on, Haas.
If you want to see it, Haas, then you got to help. Whatever you're playing these days, stop playing that and come play some Halo. Halo 5. Let me rephrase that, because someone likes the classic Halos and is not up to date with the current Halos, so come play some Halo 5.
I haven't had anybody volunteering to do it, or time schedules have clashed when I have been able to get people to say that they want to join, you know, they want to help out. So it is still in the works. I just have to get people together to do it, because Halo 5, running the achievements, yes, there's a lot of them you can do solo, but the game is built to be played with four people, and the achievements reflect that.
They really went the whole fire team idea with Osiris and then blue team. So yeah, makes sense. But if you are interested in helping out with achieving Halo, which for those who may not know or maybe new to the podcast, that was we actually started this back in MCC doing it with Halo CE. And it's where we go through and try to get the most achievements in one playthrough of the campaign. And you're on the... What's the mission? I'm bad with the mission.
That's evacuation.
It. Yeah, it's the fifth mission on Halo 5. That's not the hub mission.
No. Technically, the sixth mission. If you count the hub mission, it's the fifth one. No, wait a minute.
Yeah, that's right.
No, you count the hub mission as the fourth one, and then the mission after that would be the fifth one.
Yeah, that's the Guardian anyway. One. And then the sixth one is the evacuation part.
Yeah.
And it's really not that long, people.
But yes, I would love to have some help with it.
Yeah, and it's really not that long. It's a short one. It takes, what, 10 minutes at the most for that one?
Well, generally when I'm filming, it takes about an hour. Because we'll play through the mission once, just so everybody kind of gets an idea of what we need to do. And, you know, it also allows them to get the achievements.
Okay.
And for, you know, me to get the achievements on my main account that I haven't got yet. But, you know, it's mainly just to kind of get everybody used to and knowing what to do, refreshing everybody what needs to happen in the level, which, you know, most levels with four people, the 15, 20 minutes. And then the second playthrough, I switch to my recording account. And then we'll go through and do the mission again. That way I can record the achievements popping during the playthrough. If there's achievements you don't have, let me know, because I can probably help you get them in this playthrough. I would like to finish it before Halo 6.
That would be nice. And then we still have the rest of MCC to go through.
I really wanted to get it done before Halo 2. And yes, there will be some achievement hunting for Halo 2, but I want to finish Halo 5 before we get going on Halo 2.
Halo 2 is going to be interesting, because it's two-player.
And we'll also be doing Halo Wars 2.
And Halo Wars. And Halo Reach. And Halo 3 ODST. And would we do Spartan Assault and Spartan Strike? I guess. Eventually.
Eventually. The main focus, I think, right after Halo 5 is, and I'll probably go ahead and start recording these as I get time, because I can do them solo, is go ahead and start doing recording achievements for Halo Wars 2.
That makes
2.
Sense.
And, you know, get those videos put together and produced and get them ready to go up on YouTube when we finish Halo 5. And then I would like to get back to Master Chief Collection and get Halo 2 done. Halo 2, I don't have to have somebody, but if there are people that want to join in, you are more than welcome. There'll be one spot per mission. And same for Halo 3. When I get to recording Halo 3 and Halo 4 and ODST and
Halo 3 is 4-player with Master Chief Collection.
Right. Yeah, it'd be me plus 3 other people.
Yeah. Oh, my mind was still on the plus 1, but yes.
Yeah.
Rick Nasty put in the chat, just make sure it's done before Half-Life 3, which, judging by the sounds of it, I think we'll be good.
Well, at the current pace we're traveling, Half-Life 3 may show up first.
If there is a Half-Life 3.
Exactly.
We'll see.
But yes, I am starting to work on those. But I really want to get Halo 5 in the books before I really go hot and heavy on any other Halo games.
Yeah, that makes sense. That pretty much wraps up this update. There's some few screenshots and art things that have been posted. They did screenshots based around the idea of rocks and rails because of the playlist for Arena. So you can check those out in the Rockin' and Railing update. And there's also a short little highlight on some of the 405th cosplayers as well. Moving on to the most recent update. This one is titled Beach Battle. They do a little bit of an HCS promo for HCS Daytona, but we'll get to that in a little bit since that was this past weekend and we have the result of that, so skipping that for now. Proving Grounds, the sole map for the Blitz mode in Halo Wars 2, is getting some themes. So we'll be playing pretty much kind of the same map, but there is some different geometry to go with it. I think the flows will still be the same, but you'll get a little bit of a different feel. So maybe it doesn't feel like you're playing the same map over and over and over again. And that's going to be coming with the next update to Halo Wars 2 with the next DLC, which they haven't given us any more details as far as like if there's a new leader or whatnot. I'm guessing, and GT, let me know if you know anything other than that, but I'm guessing this is probably going to be the main piece of the DLC, because if they're going on target for what they're trying to do is the third Wednesday of the month, that's going to be this coming, this is going to be tomorrow, right? Did I lose GT?
No, you didn't. I'm here. Yes, this would be, tomorrow is the third Wednesday of this month. So we're either looking at 17th or the 24th. Sometimes I wonder if they count the first week.
Yeah, maybe it's the first full week. The third Wednesday of the first full week of the month.
Yeah, something like that. I don't know. But new skins or whatever you want to call it for Proving Grounds, it definitely will make it less repetitive. I mean, I know it's the same map, but at least you get a different aesthetic.
I mean, it breaks up the monotony a little bit of playing on the same map over and over again.
And I honestly haven't even played Blitz yet.
Well, so example, we played Big Team on Sunday, and we played Entombed. And the first Entombed that Duquesne came up with was almost off the, kind of like a, I almost wanted to say it was like a space version of kind of like Burial Grounds feeling a little bit, but the latest Entombed is more like ancient ruins feeling.
Yeah, I was watching a stream where he was redesigning it, changing all the textures, and he actually ported the map. It was kind of, he grouped everything together, and I think he turned it into a
prefab,
and then moved it into the new background.
And then did he just retexture some of the stuff, or did he just replace?
A lot of stuff he just retextured. Now, he did have to rebuild some of it because textures didn't line up correctly and things like that. But yeah, I thought it was pretty cool.
I envy those guys a little bit that they have that much time to work on that kind of Forge stuff, because some of the stuff that the community comes up with is totally rad.
Yeah. We played some Big Team Friday. We won one and got our butts kicked two more times and I had enough and we went back to Warzone.
Warzone's a fun place.
We were just absolutely getting stomped. Actually, I think we wound up going up against the guys over at Bad Halo.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. That's cool. And of course they, you know, sleep, eat, and breathe Big Team, so we got stomped pretty bad.
But it was fun, right?
No, it wasn't.
Never mind then.
I was not having a good night when it came to coordination.
Oh, gotcha.
It seemed like I was getting stuck on everything.
Oh well.
Yes, they are Bad Halo, but we were worse Halo last night.
Well, they're the Bad Halo podcast. Not necessarily night. Bad at Halo. Just bad at Halo podcasting, I guess. Watch him come into the stream just at that moment. The Halo Wars Definitive Edition is getting some patches as well, amongst the numerous bug fixes for crashes that are going on. They added the single player campaign leaderboard. They added text chat for Xbox One. They updated some graphics issues, some text rendering, graphics improvements, and a whole bunch of other bugs that were part of the Definitive Edition. So the patch went up on Friday last week, so everyone should have gotten the update if you have the Definitive Edition for Halo Wars. For the HCS maps and game modes, those are now available as part of the customs built-in maps and modes. So if you're interested in playing some HCS settings and custom instead of having to go into matchmaking, then you can do that. And there's some pretty interesting community stuff that was included in the update. The first one being bowling in Halo 5 now.
Mm-hmm.
Sean over at Forge Labs did a video with a couple of other people and did a full game of bowling. And it's actually pretty cool how it tracks. I didn't watch the video all the way through because it's 30 minutes. I didn't watch it all the way through to see if the scoring mechanism was exactly right, but it kept the score on the scoreboard based on how many pins that you knocked down, and you had two bowls per frame, and it tracked which pins that you had, and it had a little guard thing that would come down, clear up the pins, and then you would bowl the golf ball to knock the pins down. So it's kind of cool.
I thought it was really good. Watch it. When you pick up the bowling ball, you have a bomb in your hand, and then you throw the bomb and the golf ball appears out of nowhere and rolls down the aisle. I thought it was pretty cool.
The golf ball is actually like sitting in front of you, and then when you throw, so where you throw the ball doesn't exactly correspond with where the golf ball goes. I think there's something with you, the last direction of movement for the golf ball is the direction it'll go, because one of the times I saw like someone like walk at an angle and then change to look down the middle, and when they threw the ball, the golf ball just went right into the gutter.
But it really is amazing the stuff that they come up with. I mean, whoever thought we'd have bowling in Halo?
I don't know.
And then there's the people out there is, why do we have bowling in Halo?
The bowling arena itself is really well done. They have an aquarium in there. They have like an overview area with some air hockey and dining tables and all that stuff. A lot of these maps, even though they're just functionally innovative, are also very decorative. Yeah,
detailed. I mean, they have the dots on the lanes.
Yep, they have the little triangles. They have the overhead displays of what pins are up. They even wrote out the map name in it, first strike, in like cursive. I don't know how people do this, but it's amazing. But yeah, you can bowl in Halo.
It is.
So there's that, and then the holographic Cortana appliance. Everyone has probably seen this already. If not, then this was all over Twitter. It was one of the top trending things on Reddit. Someone has engineered a holographic display to interact with the Cortana app on your computer. And I don't know what the word is, but so the demonstration that was used in this particular video was asking about the weather. So when you say Cortana, she walks in and you say your command, and then a moment later she has all these screens pop up, and then she flicks around a weather widget, and then after that she turns around and walks away. This thing is ridiculously cool.
And to watch how this gentleman that designed this, he used his wife as a 3D model for Cortana, and he used two different Kinects to capture her motion. They did motion capture in their living room, and somebody actually found a use for a Kinect. Oh,
hey, there have been uses for Kinect for a while now.
I had to put that in there, but it's really good. You know, it's a real natural movement that the hologram has. I like the way that the screens come up around the Cortana figure. You know, it's kind of like the opening scene in Halo 4 where she starts bringing up screens and, you know, looking at stuff and ship status. And then, you know, the pertinent screen is displayed to where you can see it. It's a blue triangle. He's got her in a plexiglass triangle. And, you know, of course, you know, you need something to reflect the light off of, but yeah, it's really cool. I want one.
I can imagine this being in some entry to a Microsoft building, and you just ask Cortana, like, she is the desk attendant.
I am surprised that they don't have one already.
I'm sure after this gets built for a while, or it gets more developed, then Microsoft might be in contact with them, and it'd be cool to see something like that developed. I don't know if it'd be something that would be mass market, but just seeing it, the concept of it is...
I'd buy one.
I might wait a little bit, because...
If they made a desktop model.
Yeah. Yeah, have a little, like, hand-sized Cortana that you can just put on your desk. Because this thing is probably a good 2 feet tall in the base.
Yeah, it's a pretty substantial piece.
Really well done, though. So check that out if you haven't already. It's on Reddit. It's on the Waypoint update. It's been on Twitter. So just check it out, because it's worth seeing. Someone made beam rifle sounds just from recordings that they made with an iPhone, and it's pretty convincing. I don't know if you had a chance to listen to it, but it's interesting how audio engineers make up sounds, and I don't know if people have seen some of the Vidocs that Marty has done, or some of the other audio engineers have done for the Halo sounds. And they even had the Sprint had a section about audio as well?
Yeah, where they actually went out and fired rear weapons. They went out in nature and recorded stuff, you know, just for the sounds of the game. And it's really cool how they take that, mix it down to try to make it a distinct sound for the game.
Yeah, I couldn't do this.
Yeah, no, me neither.
So there's that. Check it out. Also, someone did a 3D printed Spanker launcher, and the paint job is really good as well. It actually fires the Nerf rockets that you would get from any of the Nerf guns. And you can check it out over at Imgur. It's by SithSlayer78. And this is probably one of the best rocket launchers I've seen designed. And there actually haven't been too many, now that I think about it. There have been a few, but this one, I think, is one of the best designs I've seen so far for a rocket launcher from Halo.
Yeah, not too many of them actually shoot rockets.
Well, that too. A little bit of practical purpose in there too. At the bottom of the update, there's more screenshots. This one doesn't have a particular theme. The last week was rocks and rails, but this one seems just a little more kind of just artistic, because there's some BRs in there. There's a couple of railgun ones in there, but this looks to be a little more varied. There's a lot of good ones in here. I think for the most part, I think half of them are railgun ones, but check them out. Our friend Drax over at Ready Up Live, he got one of them up there as well. Congrats, Drax.
Yeah, congrats. Condrax, there you go.
Condrax, that's awesome. Condrax. Congrats? I'm not even going to try anymore. I'll just leave it with what you said.
Okay.
And at the bottom of the update, some sad news, but Dan Ayoub has left 343 Industries. Friday was his last day. He was the head of strategy games at 343. So basically the mastermind behind developing Halo Wars 2. There was a lot of mixed feelings for him leaving, because he was also the one that was behind the Master Chief Collection project. And there's still a lot of salty people about the Master Chief Collection, which, if you're listening to this and you're still upset over Master Chief Collection, think of the undertaking that it took to actually get all 5 engines to work together in such a way to get it on the Xbox One. The project was a massive undertaking.
Well, it's something that's never been done before.
No.
To take 4 different games built for 2 different consoles, put them on a brand new console, and have them run native with that new console hardware, all from a integrated UI, it's a daunting task. When they announced it, I'm like, this is an impossibly large project. In all truth, it probably should have taken about a decade for them to get this done and to get it done correctly. I really am, you know, personally, I am disappointed with the performance of it, but I understand the scope of the project. They would have been, yeah, there's a lot of would have beens. They would have been better off re-releasing the games individually on Xbox One, but then you wouldn't have the crossplay in the, as far as in the UI like you do now. I'm sorry to see Dan IU leaving. He has definitely been, you know, an inspiration to 343. I hope that he's remembered for what he has done, the good things, not what happened under him. Because yeah, the Master Chief Collection, yeah, it's a troubled thing to have in your past, but it's not all on him. That responsibility can fall to many people. You know, he's done a lot for Halo outside of the Master Chief Collection. That's a real good thing, and I hope everybody remembers that. And I wish him luck on his new ventures.
Me too. And for those interested, he still has a Microsoft job. He's heading over to the mixed reality department. The little description that they gave on that was the empowerment of education through technology, which is a noble endeavor. They said in the update that it's something that he's passionate about. I'm excited to see what comes out of that. And I've had plenty of really awesome conversations with Dan over the years. We got to interview him at E3 last year about Halo Wars 2. And every time I get to sit down with him, he's just a very cheerful, very upbeat person to talk to.
Yeah, every time I've heard him speak, he's always been, you know, like you said, very upbeat. He wants to be there. He wants to talk to you. It's not, oh God, I got another interview. It's, you know, he's excited about it.
He's very passionate about what he does. And that really shows.
Yeah, that's one of his endearing qualities. It's one of the reasons I've always liked him. Whenever he had something to say, I was always listening to what he had to say, even when he wasn't telling us anything.
So, Dan, you will be missed in the Halo community, at least from a dev standpoint. We hope you stick around and show up every now and then in the grand scheme of things. And we're pretty sure you will. But thank you for everything that you've done for Halo, and best wishes on your future endeavors. HCS Daytona. Let's get some competitive action on. This past weekend was the first LAN event for the Halo World Championship Summer 2017 series. And this was for the North American region. Team Envious finally knocked down the green wall in a 14-game series.
Yeah.
But they did it. They took them down. They took down the reigning champions.
Just to beat them twice in a row, that is impressive. To stay on your game for 14 straight games.
And this was best of sevens. So the first series, they won the first three.
They went 4-3 first series, didn't they?
Well, yeah, they went 4-3 first series and 4-3 second series. But in the first series, they won their first three games, then lost their next three, and then won the last one. And then in the next round, they won the first one, lost the second one, won the next two, lost the next two, and then won the last one by two kills. They won it by two kills.
Thanks to Snipe Down.
And oh my gosh, he had some really, really good callouts and really fortunate shots. And he had that last camo grab was what won that last game for them.
That triple was awesome.
Oh my gosh. Everyone was getting fatigued and tired. And I mean, 14 games, that's a lot to play in two sittings back to back. Compel's like aimbot. Well, at that level, it almost feels like it's an aimbot at points. That entire series was the only thing I watched, but it was intense.
I mean, to be him and to just remain calm, remain at the point where you have a steady shot, knowing that you just had the tying kill, and to have that third one show up right in front of you. His heart must have been going 9 billion miles an hour.
Well, and afterwards, they did a quick interview with him, and he was still out of breath just from all the celebrating that they were doing. But congratulations. I mean, I know I'm a little bit biased because there's a couple people that I like on Envious, Pistola, and Snipedown. All of them played really well, and shout out to Elaminite for being a wonderful coach too. But everything is... That whole series was just nuts.
I wasn't following it very closely, but I was keeping up with the Discord feed.
Yeah. Well, we were chatting about it on Sunday, that's for sure.
Oh yeah, I know. This morning, I checked my email, and I had 7 emails from Discord stating that I'd missed something. Geez. I really need to figure out how to turn that off. But yeah, it wants me to download the Discord app. They don't have one for Windows Phone. But anyway, an official one.
Ah, put gotcha. That way.
And I, you know, I was kind of following along with it during the day because I was at my computer. I was playing. I was playing some Halo and some other games, chatting with some friends that I hadn't talked to in a while. But yeah, it was definitely a nail biter.
I'm so happy they won. In the bracket, though, there's another team that actually came up through the open bracket to place in the top 8, which means one of the pro teams actually got knocked out of championship play. So this was Oxygen Supremacy. And I didn't get to watch anything during that weekend because Saturday I was extremely tired and I pretty much vegged all day, and Sunday I was trying to get some stuff done, so I hopped on to watch the final series since it was Envious and Optic. It was basically a repeat of the world finals, but we have a team coming up from the open bracket. That's nothing to shrug over.
Yeah, and they placed 5th
out of the top 8, which is fantastic. It's a tie for 5th and 6th, but still, to see someone come in through the open bracket is still kind of a good indication that you have players out there that can still break into the competitive scene and is not locked out into these top teams. So the next event is not until the end of either the, I can't remember, I think it's at the end of June is the next LAN event, and that's going to be the finals for the fall series. There's 4 open online events that will feed into the final event that's going to be at the end of June. So only 2 LAN events for the summer season, at least for the US. So that's it for all the Waypoint updates. A couple of related tweets for some upcoming news. There's not going to be any Halo 6 announcement at E3 this year, which is a little odd because of some of the past stuff that we've seen as far as revealing game information, because Halo 5 was basically revealed 1.5 years before it was going to come out. They had the campaign teaser for Halo 5 E3 3 years ago, and then they had the Halo 4 one, I think, was also about 1.5 years in advance too. So it's kind of weird that we're not seeing anything Halo 6 being announced this year, assuming that Halo 6 is going to be releasing next year. Also, they've clarified this, and I don't know why this needs to be clarified over and over again, but there is no Halo 3 anniversary in development. There's no plans for Halo 3 anniversary. So whoever's thinking that there's going to be a Halo 3 anniversary, just stop. The original game is still supported on 360, and I don't think that's going to change.
Yeah, the only reason they did Halo 1 and Halo 2, well, the original reason they did Halo CE was because they shut down online multiplayer.
Well, Halo CE never had online multiplayer.
Not online, but yeah, it never had online multiplayer, and they wanted to add it, and they wanted to bring it to be a native game on the 360. With Halo 2, it was the same type of deal. The game was built for, you know, a console that was two generations old, and there were still people that wanted to play it. So, you know, that is, you know, part of the reason they did that with MCC.
And they fed into the Halo 5 story with the Arbiter.
Yeah, well, they used it to feed into the Halo 5 story, yes. I mean, it already did lead into it, but they did use it to extend that with the cutscenes or with the terminals. The, you know, Halo 3, the only thing I can see them maybe doing is bringing it to Batkin Pack, but I'm not seeing that. I don't think that's going to happen while, you know, with the Master Chief Collection being out there. Same for Halo 4 and ODST. Sadly.
Well, and the graphics still look pretty good.
Oh, yeah, they look just fine. I would like to see the original games running on Xbox One. You know, that's just a personal preference. I'd like to be able to play all my Halo in one place. But with, you know, with the Master Chief Collection out there, I just don't see it happening. It's like, you know, Halo 2 never came to the 360.
Right.
Because you could play it on the 360. Yeah, it was playable on the 360, the original game, until they shut down the original Xbox servers.
I mean, you can still play campaign.
You could still play campaign, yes. You could still do local co-op or, you know, LAN with it. The only thing you lost was the online multiplayer.
I mean, we did the LAN at our 10-year anniversary party. That was so much fun. Yeah, I don't see any reason for Halo 3 anniversary. And there's a lot of people out there that really don't mind to not see it either. That was just something that they clarified over Twitter and some forum posts and other things over the past weekend. There is rumor that there may be some kind of Halo announcement stuff, whether it be maybe something for the Halo TV series, which supposedly is still in production. Or some other Halo multimedia, or maybe some other kind of Halo game or something. But nothing as far as first-person shooter games. It looks like there's going to be at E3 this year.
That's sad.
Yeah, there'll be another year.
Well, maybe they will say something at PAX Prime.
They could. It'd be closer to...
I mean, there's plenty of conventions still this year, so.
You've got San Diego Comic-Con, you've got RTX, you've got PAX Prime. I think if there's going to be anything else this year that they would announce something like Halo 6 at, it would probably be PAX Prime. I don't see them doing it anywhere else. Community stuff. Forge Hub is hosting not a contest, but they're looking for someone to remake the High Grounds map from Halo 3 for a classic Halo playlist that's going to be coming to Halo 5. Duquesne actually jumped right on this and started forging, I think, the day of the announcement. But if there are any forgers out there that happen to listen to us and you're looking to exercise your forging skills, then Knockyard is looking for some High Ground designs to go into matchmaking. And it's cool to see that they're working on a classics playlist. I think Haas will be happy about that. If he's still in the chat. I wonder what maps are going to be added into that. Because we've seen some of the classic maps in playlists before. So a lot of the Halo CE ones have been thrown into matchmaking at times. Some of the Halo 2 ones. For me, whenever I go and want to just host a customs lobby and just have it open to anybody, Sometimes I'll do some of the remake maps. So the backwash one is a favorite. Elongation is an also popular one. And I do these for Super Fiesta. And that seems to fill up pretty quickly whenever I do that, at least on Halo 5 Forge. And they're a lot of fun to play on. Bungie was good at making maps. 343 still has a little bit of room to work on.
Well, yeah, to be fair, 343 is designing a different type of map than Bungie did.
True.
Especially for Halo 5, they're designing maps for a whole different set of movement mechanics. So that's going to dictate a lot of changes to maps. And I can understand that. And there are some Halo CE maps that aren't exactly balanced.
Yeah, I guess I'm thinking more from a nostalgic standpoint, I guess.
Yeah. And you know, the funny thing is you know, everybody in this kind of plays into the nostalgic part of it. I've been noticing now, Dust, you remember when Halo Reach launched, right? All the backlash that Bungie was getting for Halo Reach.
Yeah, that's true.
Now I'm seeing this more and more. Oh, Halo Reach was my favorite game. And oh, I wish they'd go back to the Halo Reach. And I'm like, wait a minute. You were the same people that were complaining about it when it launched. So, you know, there's a lot of people looking on the past with rose-colored glasses. Now, I'm not saying that Halo CE, Halo 2, Halo 3, Halo Reach weren't fun. Of those four games, the multiplayer, I have to take CE out because it didn't have online multiplayer. I enjoyed Reach's online multiplayer the most. Multiplayer in general, I still have to put that on CE because the Halo CE Magnum. I mean, what more can you say? I mean, when you can kill somebody across Blood Gulch with a Magnum
in three shots.
Yes. And all you have to do is shoot at the name.
Yeah, because back then that was the resolution you were playing with.
Yeah. I've enjoyed every Halo game. There are things that I don't enjoy about a lot of Halo games. Halo 3, I absolutely hate the way the bullets track. I have never been able to get that down. I've never been able to lead my shots correctly. And
the aiming in Halo 3 is so off compared to the other Halo games.
Now, Halo 2, I was okay at, you know, Halo 2, I was okay at online multiplayer. I didn't have a positive KD by any means. In Halo 3, it didn't get any, it got worse because of the way they tracked bullet travel. Halo Reach, I actually started to break even. Halo 4, I actually started to go positive. And in Halo 5, I still have a positive KD. It's not that great, but it's positive. And, you know, some of it I attribute to getting better at the game. But the game has also come into my play style. You know, I've gotten a lot more comfortable with the play style. Do I like the classic play of Halo 2 or CE? Yes. But I am part, and somebody's probably going to hit me on this one. We are the minority as far as the people that came into Halo CE. The bulk of the people that have played Halo CE when it launched, they've grown up. They have families. They don't play video games as much as they used to. I'm not saying all of them left, and then there's still a sizable chunk of people out there. But the people that played those original games, they left those games before Halo Reach came out. I'm kind of an oddity. I'm 46 years old, and I still play video games. There's not a high population of people that do that. Most everybody that was around playing Halo CE, you know, they're in their mid to later 30s, you know, that were around when it was Halo CE was at its prime. Same for Halo 2. You know, people are, they just get older and their interests change. So there, you know, like I said, there's some things I like, some things I don't. And I would hope that people understand that the game needs to hang on to tradition in some cases, but it also needs to evolve and innovate, because you have to draw in new players. Game attention span is extremely short these days.
Yeah.
I am not joking. And I see it with all games. Now, don't get me wrong, there's some games, because they have so much to do, you know, like Diablo. I know it's not a shooter. Or The Witcher. Yeah, I know they're not shooters, but they have a lot to do in them. That's why they retain the player base. Because, you know, you can spend months on the game and not finish it. But your average shooter or short story game, 6-8 months and people have moved on to something else.
That's a good point.
I mean, the attention span when it comes to video games is nowhere as long as it used to be, because there are so many choices.
Well, and I guess kind of to the argument too, with developing a new game, you're always going to have developers trying to find new ways to improve the game, new ways to change the game. So, like, the whole argument of having things go back to the way they were, it's like, no, if you want things to go back to the way they were, then just stay stuck in the past and go play that older game.
Yeah. You know, I don't want to play Halo 2 over and over again. That's why I bought Halo 3, because I didn't want to play Halo 2 over and over again.
And that's why you bought Reach.
I wanted something new.
Why you bought 5, and well, I continue to buy it.
Exactly. Yeah,
it's a fresh new experience.
The biggest reason I buy new Halo games, well, other than story, because, you know, I always want the latest story, is I want something different. I want something, well, I want something that's familiar, but plays different, because it keeps me interested in the entire series.
Yeah, it keeps the franchise alive.
Right. Halo 4, great story, sucky multiplayer. But it wasn't as bad to me as Halo 3. In Halo 4, I played probably 2 or 3 times more multiplayer than I did in Halo 3. Same with Reach, because I enjoyed it.
Well, and I enjoyed Halo 2. Like, Halo 2 was probably my best game until Halo 5. So everyone has their own areas, but I still think Halo 5 is a really good game.
Yes. I like the movement. I like the way the maps play. I'm not exactly happy with all the maps, don't get me wrong. You know, each map has its own little quirks. Still got screwy spawns. But, you know, maybe in a future Halo game, in Halo 6, have, I don't know if you can have a way to have, when you launch the game, have the ability to play the game in a classic way.
Well, custom games have that option to get it almost back like classic modes.
Well, I mean, have it preset, you know, in your game types or something like that, you know, just classic Halo. It brings, you know, jump height, the movement, takes away the abilities, only uses it and have those classic weapons available for those maps. It, you know, only uses the classic weapons.
Yeah, there's defaults that you can build into customs like that, and then you can just have a predefined custom.
But, you know, like I said, when the game launches, just have that custom available. Don't rely on the community to build it. You know, have it available. Yeah,
that wouldn't be hard to do.
You know, have the classic game types available.
Yeah. Sorry about the tangent, everybody, but as you can tell, we're a little bit passionate. That's why we do
just the a little bit. Yeah, we love the series. We love Halo, and it disappoints us sometimes. But hey, we get over it. We move on, and we look for the positive.
And there are lots of positives.
Microsoft, you can send my check to. Oh,
okay, Green Skull. I kid. staying on the map realm of things, Halo Customs is having a contest for Battle Golf maps. So this is a contest that they opened up a couple weeks ago, and it's running until June 18th. You can head on over to HaloCustoms.com. It's probably one of the first things that you'll see when you head over to their website. This is to build maps around the Battle Golf game mode. So they have linked the default game mode type and the normal map template that is used. And you can use that to build your map. They have some scripting documentation that you can use to either script the new rounds like the one Battle Golf map that was released does, or you can choose not to do it and just have the same map every time. But there are some prizes for entering in and getting your map selected and featured, and they have partnered up with 343 to have some of these prizes. So the first place is going to get a PlayArts Kai Halo Reach Red Team Mark V figure. This was a 2011 San Diego Comic-Con and Japan Expo exclusive. A Halo 5 wristwatch, a Halo Wars Definitive Edition digital code, Halo 5 Voices of War Rec Pack, Halo 5 Classic Helmet Pack, and the Halo 5 343 Unicorn Skin. That's for first place. Second place is a Halo Wars Definitive Edition digital code, Voices of War, Classic Helmet, Rec Packs, and the Halo 3 343 Unicorn Skin. And then third place is everything mentioned before except the Halo Wars digital code. So again, this ends midnight on June 18th, 2017. So there is a little over a month to build the map again for Forgers, another contest to get involved with. Halo 3 beta turns 10 today, and in celebration, Garrett Post, who's probably one of the more well-known community artists for Halo artwork, posted some really cool artwork over up on social media everywhere. And it's on Reddit, but it makes a really good phone background. It's my work phone background now. But it's almost like a watercolor sketch of a battle on Valhalla. There's a blue team with the EVA helmet and a spiker, and then there's a red team member with the Hayabusa armor and the sword, and then there's the Banshee in the background. And it's really cool. The blue guy has dual spikers, because that was a thing. I'm a little surprised that, now that I'm thinking about it, spikers didn't make a return as a rec weapon.
Well,
a little surprised. I mean, not too surprised, a little surprised.
Seeing brutes weren't included in the Halo 5 campaign. Yeah, I was really surprised when we saw the brute plasma rifle show up.
And I guess there's no spike grenade, there's no brute shot. Brute
shot, no choppers.
The brute shot would be cool. That'd be cool to have.
I guess if you pull the trigger quick enough, you could use a grenade launcher like one.
Yeah,
but I don't know if you can get them to launch quite that fast.
No, can't. Because then there's delay, and then you have to reload every single time versus just going that, 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 that. So yeah, Halo 3 beta turns 10 today. Crazy stuff. There's a Kickstarter project for making a fan short film. It's called Sierra 117. I'll probably make an article about this so people don't have to go dig too much for it. But if you do a Google search for it, it will come up. They just launched yesterday as we're recording this. They're looking for $35,000, and so far 33 backers have pledged $2,100 to it. The campaign is ending around noon Eastern time on Thursday, June 15th, and they're looking to do a 20-minute Halo fan film. And of course, being a Microsoft licensed product, they can only offer it for free, so they're using the Kickstarter to help fund the filming of it. And they have a concept piece, a proof of concept that showcases some scenes that it would be similar to what would be in the final version. And they're using the money mostly to get equipment, to pay the actors, to find locations. doing post-productions and effects, and then, of course, enough stuff to cover all the reward tiers that they want to do. So there are plenty of reward tiers on here. There's quite a bit, actually. So you can pledge as small as $2, and just that be it. There's the $5 level, which is the shout-out, which is kind of like a credits thing almost, but on social media. There's 10, 15, 20, 30, 50, 80, 100, 200, 350, 800, 2,000, 5,000. There's a whole bunch of different levels on there. So if you're interested in the project, go check it out. It's about a 2-minute proof of concept movie. Kind of gives you a good idea of what they're going for. And it's just kind of a behind the scenes look at the Master Chief coming up. And it looks like this may touch on the insurrection a little bit.
A little bit. But it does focus a lot more on the Chief.
Give it a check out if you want to head on over there and look at what they're doing. Again, it's a community-funded project. They also have stretch goals. They have a 50,000 stretch goal. They have an 80,000 stretch goal. And then they have a 150,000 stretch goal. So it's pretty ambitious. Again, this just launched yesterday. Check it out if you're interested. And that's going to be it for the show. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. Sorry we had to skip last week, but we're back. Hopefully not sick again for the rest of the year. At least that would be nice. Remember, you have one more month to buy the last loot crate of the first year of the Halo Legendary crate and to get your Halo Icons figure. And loot crate... Loot crate actually did spoil the contents of the crate. So if you're interested, you can go find it on the Loot Gaming Instagram and the Twitter account. If you don't want to be spoiled, that's fine. Just stay away from those. Most of the Halo community is pretty good about respecting other people not wanting to be spoiled. For people who run Halo Collector, they're usually pretty good at making sure no one gets spoiled over there either. But if you are one of those people that likes to see things that are coming to you, I'm kind of one of those people, then Loot Gaming did post over on their Instagram and Twitter the contents of the next crate. You can pre-order Halo Warfleets also over on Amazon. If you go to podtackler.com/warfleet, that'll take you over to the pre-order page where you can get it. I think it's still 35% off of retail, which is a good time to lock it in now, because one of the nice things about Amazon is if the price ever goes lower, then you'll get the lower price. If it goes up, then you'll just get the lowest price that it was offered at after your purchase. So if it's something that you know you're pretty much going to go for, there's pretty much no excuses not to go ahead and pre-order it on Amazon. But again, podtackler.com/warfleet. And then for the loot crate, since I forgot to mention that, lootcrate.com/podtackler will get you $3 off your crate if you use PodTackler promo code at checkout. Make sure you check out the podcast network. We're part of a network of gaming-specific shows such as ChrisCast, Guardian Radio, Podcast 76, and The Learning Cliff. And there's a few other podcasts on there, like Work in Progress, which has been doing... Actually, it's not Work in Progress. How to Murder Time is the other one, and I think they're the ones that have been doing a Minecraft-specific show lately. So you can head on over to podka.st and find out more about the shows over on the network over there and let them know that we sent you. Again, we are having our Friday game nights. I think we're still trying to do them weekly. Or GT, have you gotten any feedback from the community on changing that up?
No, I'm still looking for any feedback that anybody wants to give. The last couple of Fridays, we've had some pretty good turnouts. We've actually been able to get in and do some customs. We did, what was the name of that? I can't remember the name of the map now, but it is Jenga Wall.
Oh, geez.
And yeah, it is your traditional Jenga, well, sort of. instead of just standing on highway dividers and waiting to get knocked off, you actually run across shipping containers, you know, either over the top of them or through the middle of them. And they have a special weapon. It's a weapon fusion. You have the CE pistol that shoots I think it's a railgun shot or some. I think it's a railgun shot, but you knock the containers over. It's a lot of fun.
All right. I would try to get in this weekend, but I'm going camping.
Oh, fun. But yeah, that one's been all the rage over the YouTube over the past week.
Okay.
Another one we might try out. It's something that Forge Labs just released. Or just did a video on. I think they actually designed it too. It's called Camp Tartarus.
I haven't heard of that one.
Imagine Pac-Man with gravity hammers.
Okay then.
Except for there's only one ghost.
Oh jeez. And a lot of Pac-Mans?
Basically you have one player spawns in, is the infected, and they have they're basically invulnerable except to assassination. They're wandering around in a Pac-Man style maze with a Tartarus gavel. And of course, you know, their job is to kill everybody else. And your job is to sneak up behind the infected and kill him to win the round. Or just, you know, stay alive until the round ends. But
okay.
And they've done it very well. In order for the infected player to get a kill, the opposing player has to be in the same lane as them. They've got some type of deflector up between the different sections, so they can't just, you know, shoot the shockwave across. You have to be in the same lane as the infected person. So
interesting.
It looks like a really fun game time.
It sounds good, and it sounds well thought out, too. All right. Cool. So make sure you check us out on Fridays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. That's when Mr. GT hosts Fraggin' Fridays. And I am looking to record weekly again on Sundays. Trying out Beam for now. May switch them back and forth between Twitch and Beam, depending on some stuff. On my personal channel is Duststorm on Beam and Duststorm Pettigrew on Twitch. And then we'll look into incorporating some stuff on the Podtacular accounts as well. Make sure you check us out on our social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Discord, YouTube, Twitch. And if we have it, just podtacular.com/whatever it is. We'll take you there. I definitely recommend that you check out our Spartan company. We do have a few spots left, especially if you're interested in helping us out build a competitive team that's being headed up by Confal and Keys. And then we also have our Xbox Club, which we're asking people to submit any clips or screenshots that they're taking in Halo so we can pull them together for some kind of collage and montage that we want to start doing. We kind of want to get back into the habit of featuring some of our community content. So that's one way that we thought about doing it. And it's pretty easy for us to pull screenshots and videos from the Xbox Club feed. So you can join up to the club. Just search for Podtacular and we'll accept you once we get the notification for the invite request. Other than that, it's going to do it for us tonight. Thanks everyone for tuning in. We'll be back next week with hopefully some more Halo news. Sounds like we make it a little bit of a dry spell if we're not going to see much in convention season this year. But we still have plans for Halo Wars 2 content coming out. It's supposed to be monthly. So next week, hopefully, we'll see some more information on what's coming out for this month and see what else is going on, possibly in other realms of Halo. Probably more community content related stuff. But again, thanks for tuning in. We'll talk to you guys later.